a huge blessing to me that I now have an opportunity to be a part of the family of God. Were the Jews God's chosen people? Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul points this out, and I'll refer to that a little bit later. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, we read, "For you," and that's talking about Israel here, "for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the earth." And certainly the Jewish people as a people were blessed greatly by God. But I heard yesterday on TV was a news article about the West Bank settlement, Israel and Palestine, the problems they're having over the settlement on the West Bank. And he was interviewing a Jewish man who was living on the West Bank, and the Jewish man said, "After all, we are God's chosen people." And in a sense, they are, but not in the sense that the Jewish people think that they are. And so we'll look at that a little bit more. Had God chosen Israel and disregarded all the other people? Was he concerned just about Israel? You know, several weeks ago now, we had a lesson about Balaam. Who was Balaam? Yeah. What?
He was a prophet.
He was a prophet, but he was not a Jew. And we talked about how many more prophets were there that from God that were not Jewish people. We don't have that recorded in the Bible, but we do have Balaam recorded there. And so it's possible that there were others. There, go ahead.
Let's
talk
about the relationship between God and Nebuchadnezzar also.
Yeah. And if you go back even further than that, you know, the first prophecy about the coming Christ, you know, is very early in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And so God chose to give clues of what was going to transpire down through the ages, and there were just pieces, parts, and so mankind failed to really put those pieces, parts together until, you know, Jesus came, and it all became clearer. And then with the gospel message, it became even more clear. And I think that now, today, that we have everything that we need. Are all questions about God answered? No, there's lots of questions. Sometimes I think I ought to make a list. Of course, if I made a list, I wouldn't have it with me when I got to see the Lord, but at the same time, you know, we all have questions concerning our spiritual makeup, you know, spiritual questions, godly questions. And so it's not a situation that where Israel were the only people that God was concerned about. He's always been concerned about all his children, and that includes both Jews and Gentiles. God did not choose Israel and disregard others. Israel was chosen by him and providentially protected for a specific reason. That reason that Christ would come from the lineage of Abraham, the Jewish lineage. And certainly that's something that they should be very proud of. That in their history, lineage, Christ came from the same as all mankind. And with Christ dying for the sins of all the world, then we also can say the same thing, that we are part of Christ, we are part of his family, we're part of the family of God. In Romans chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, Paul says, what advantage then has the Jews, and what profit is what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, and he emphasizes that with an exclamation point. And then he goes on and says, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. What is Paul talking about here? What do you think Paul is talking about? What's talking about the oracles of God? That's true. But what is the law that they were under? Mosaic law. Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry?
What are oracles? Yeah,
with defined
oracles.
Yeah.
What is oracles?
That's different understanding.
Define oracles.
Yeah. Oracles. Yeah. What is oracles? Oracles is a law that's been written for mankind. Yeah. To whom was the gospel first given? To the Jews. Yeah. So are they a blessed people? And they have something to be proud of? Yes and no. They cannot allow their pride and their nationality to exclude all other people. But they can be proud that God loved them enough, just as we can be proud that God loved us enough to choose us to be a part. Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can get puffed up or, you know, yeah, let it go to your head. It's part of his plan.
Yeah. And you know, and again, we'll talk about passages, John 3:16, that everybody can quote, you know, from heart. But yet, this shows, you know, that God loves man. And again, you can't get a better blessing than that, to know that God loves us and he cares for us and he wants us to live with him eternally. The law was given to the Jews, but it was never God's intent to give his blessings just to the Jewish nation. In Genesis 12 and verse 3, God is talking to Abraham here, and he says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. Who's that leave out? You know, we all have the opportunity to be a part of his family.
Well, Paul could sum it up in one word. Paul, I can't remember exactly where, but he said we're spiritual Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're not Jews by birth, we're spiritual Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and we need to continuously remember that we are a part of God's family. In Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to be in Galatians in the next three scriptures that I quote. So if I fail to mention that, that's still Galatians 3. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then in verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And again, you know, I've emphasized this in previous lessons. The blessings that we have in Christ. Don't ever forget that the Ephesian letter is a whole lot about the blessings that we have only in Christ. There's no one else that we can turn to. We've got to be a part of His body, and which is the church. And then in verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that may be kind of the verse that you was thinking about there. That, yeah. Yeah, and certainly we need to recognize that as God chose Abraham to bring Christ into the world, we, through being a part of the seed that has an opportunity, the seed of promise, as Christians, we are part of Christ's body, which is the church, then we also are a part of the family of Abraham, who was a part of the family of God. The point I'm making is that everything in this world goes back to God. All of mankind. You know, we can argue all we want to on Facebook and wherever else about who's right, the Democrats or Republicans, and it doesn't make one bit of difference. God is in control. And we need to recognize that we shouldn't allow those types of things to separate us. We should not allow the color of our skin to separate us. And we have done that down through the ages and are still doing it today. We've got to stop that, because that's not the will of God. The will of God is that we treat all people as we wish to be treated, that we treat all people as God's chosen, and we take the message to them. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do we in the United States have anything to brag about as far as our Christian faith is concerned, about being the only ones that have that opportunity? No. About the Christian faith? Yes. We should be extremely proud that we have come to the knowledge of God and accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But, you know, don't get the idea that God is not concerned about other Protestant religions, other false religions, the Muslim people. We should certainly strive to teach them. And we need to recognize that we can't get to the point that we think that they're not important. What did the Great Commission tell the apostles to do? And preach the creature to everyone. And we need to recognize that that's still our commission today. You know, Paul told Timothy to remember the things that I've taught you, and you go and teach others, who'll be able to teach others also. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to preach that message. Jesus' death removed the barrier that separated the Jews and Gentiles. No longer could the Jews claim they were God's chosen people and exclude all other people. In Christ, all people find unity. And there's, I'm not going to talk about that. I'd sure like to, but any more than I already have. But we need to wait on that for a future lesson, because we have a lesson later on unity. The far off brought near, Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13. He's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and them arguing and fussing among themselves. What does James say about us biting and devouring one another? We need to be careful, because we will be consumed. We will be destroyed by one another when we do that. We can't be arguing and fussing among ourselves. Too many times we're still doing that even today, and we can't allow it to be a part of the church. Jesus wouldn't accept it. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. That's talking about there the old law. Having no hope and without God in the world, verse 13, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Think the Gentiles had something to be proud of? You know, a people who were once without hope, and now they have hope. What does the phrase Gentile in the flesh mean? Yeah. They were dead in sin and didn't really know it, because they didn't have the law. They didn't have no knowledge of what sin was. Remember that that the old law brought about the knowledge of sin to the people. It had do's and don'ts. You're to do this, you're not to do that. Before that, in reality, God spoke to the through the prophets to the people, but they didn't have a law. But the old law was given to them, and the Gentiles were still in the flesh. They were not cleansed yet. They had not had the opportunity to be a part of the family of God. And I think that in the flesh is also could be used as a term for one who has not become a Christian yet. We're living for self. Our heart is wrapped up in self. It's wrapped up in the things of the world and not in the things about God. And then when we come to begin to know God through our reading, we come to a knowledge of God, and we come to a knowledge of what He has done for us and what He wants us to be, then we decide to make a choice to remove ourselves from the flesh and to give ourselves to the Spirit and follow God's plan of redemption. What does the word alien mean? In a worldly sense, it means not a citizen of a country. You know, we see this used a lot today in the news, that the alien people, you know, have got to be vested before they come in. They're an alien. If you enter illegally, you're illegally, but you're an alien. You're not of this country. a person can be an alien from the family of God. And we need to recognize that Christ came to break down that wall and that everybody have the opportunity to become a part of the family of God. We in a sense, through our own choice, were an alien as far as the family of God was concerned, because we weren't a part of it. When we obey God, plan of salvation, we're told that Christ adds us to his church. We are added, another term, to the kingdom of God. Same thing, church, kingdom of God. And so we become a part of that family, that nationality, if you will. And so it's important that we understand that we all at one time, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, were an alien. Can you imagine what it would be like without hope and without God as far as this life is concerned? We know that we're not like Rover. You know, when we die, we're dead all over. We know that there's something more and something better than this life. We know that God has a plan for mankind. And you know, man looking at the world has been deceived in so many cases as far as religious practices are concerned. But there's one thing that's always been true historically, that when man has come together, they've always worshiped something. Sometimes it was a golden calf. Sometimes it was an image made by hand. Sometimes it was God. God's desire is that we all worship him. And that's what our work is, as far as this life is concerned, is to teach others about Christ. Sometimes we can relate to being without hope in some particular situation. And I thought about different times that I was without hope, seemingly. You know, financially, not knowing whether or not we'd have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month. It really bothered me. It bothered me a great deal, especially when I was in college. Mary was working, and we just got by with the help of God, with the help of family. But we really didn't know, you know. And as soon as I graduated, I was encouraged to go get my master's degree. Just stay right there and get my master's degree. I said, no, I've had enough of this. I want to make that big paycheck. And we started then, and that paycheck was just enough to make us wonder whether or not we was going to make it at the end of the month. But we made it. And we need to recognize that being with hope just makes it so much better. Being without God is a whole different category. Do you remember the lessons in Ephesians 1, the blessings in Christ, or the lessons last week about grace? You know, those things are such... Those blessings in Christ are such a building block for our faith. The fact that God's grace was given to us freely by our God, not that we deserved it, but because God wanted it for us. And so those things are available only to people who are in Christ. F.F. Bruce said, the privilege now enjoyed by Gentiles believers in Christ would be appreciated all the more greatly if they bore in mind the state which they had been delivered. Do we today think enough about the state from which we have been delivered? The fact that Christ's blood has the power to cleanse us from all sins, that we have an opportunity again to be a part of Christ's body, the church. Do we give God the praise and the glory for that? Not only just today, but every day of the week. We need to be thankful for the love of God. Paul tells the Ephesians also in today's lesson, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a price to pay for my sins. Christ died on the cross, suffered for my sins. I need to think about that more and more. Only Christ's blood was able to take away the sins of the world. And this cleansing takes place throughout the book of Acts and throughout the world today by following God's plan of salvation. One new man, Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. For he himself is our peace, who is made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. You know, we look at this and he says, he's brought about peace through the blood of Christ. Who's Paul talking about doing all these things? Christ. Christ's death brought this about. Is it surprising that Christ, the Holy Spirit, wants us to live in peace, to truly be neighbors one with another, to love our brothers as ourselves? Reminded of the story of the Good Samaritan. And the question there in that story, who was the neighbor? All people are our neighbors. All people are our brothers in the flesh. And we as Christians have a responsibility to teach them about the love of God and the peace that comes through loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We've got to get to that point. We've got to teach the world that. David Lipscomb and J.W. Shepherd wrote in their commentary on Ephesians, says, the way to unite people to one another is to unite them all to God. Jesus brought them to God by shedding his blood for them to reconcile them to God. What does it mean to reconcile? Bringing them back, putting them back together. You know, and we need to realize that Jesus paid the price, not just for my sins, although it was because of my sins that he went there. And you can say the same thing But not only did he do it for us, he did it for the whole world, all of mankind. God's desire is that all people would be saved. He doesn't want any of us to perish, but he wants us to come to him. The wall of separation that divided the Jews from the Gentiles was the old law. The old law contained ordinances, and certainly we need to realize that God never intended that law to last forever. We see that in the Old Testament. We certainly, as we read the Hebrew letter, recognize it in the New. Jesus abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinance so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Wayne Jackson wrote, by his death on the cross, Jesus provided a way of reconciliation both to God and to one another, bringing Jews and Gentiles together in one body, otherwise known as the church, that kingdom. We are all to be, anyway, fellow citizens in the same kingdom. Again, it doesn't matter what our skin color is, what our nationality is, what our religious beliefs are. God's desire is that we all be one. Be one in those things that he has set for us to do. Let's look at verse 17 through 22. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Let's look at that just a little bit and consider some of the things that were said here. He says in the first verse 17 that he came and preached peace to you. Who's the he that's being referred to here? It's Christ. He came to preach peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Who were the afar off? That was the Gentiles. And those who were near? The Jews. Both have an opportunity. Both, verse 18, have access to one Spirit, to the Father. We get the message through the New Testament, through the words that the Holy Spirit brought to the writers of the New Testament, and through that we become a part of the family of God. You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, sometimes I wish I hadn't done this, but it's really been a blessing. But I've gone all over the country in my career in education, from Missouri to Tennessee to Arkansas to Texas, back to Arkansas, back to Tennessee, back to Arkansas, back to Tennessee, and back here. And in every place that we have been, there I have become a part of family, of the local congregation. But more importantly, I became a family long ago in the little church at Walcott, Arkansas. But there's been a whole lot of growth since that time. But we have an opportunity. And I took advantage of the opportunity, and I know all of you did too, to be a part of the family of God. That's an awesome thought. That I am an heir with Christ. Jesus is my brother. That I am a brother to all of you. And we need to see that this is a privilege that certainly should not be taken lightly. And then in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, when you build a house, the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to have a corner, a corner post, if you will, from which you go diagonally, measurement, and then to another post and go the other way in order that the house will be squared, that foundation will be good. That first block, if you will, that is laid is that one upon which you build all the other blocks. It's kind of like a puzzle. All of you have put a puzzle together, and you get ready to put together a puzzle. You look for the corner pieces, or I do anyway. Some people are good enough, they can put it one right in the middle and still fix it, but I'm not that good. But you build upon that first piece. Jesus Christ is the first piece as far as the church is concerned. And the church is still being built. There are pieces being added by the Lord daily. And so we need to recognize that the church, the family of God, is a holy temple in which God, through the Spirit, dwells in each of the members. You know, we give up ourselves in order to become a holy temple to the Lord. And so we need to see that we have such a blessing. And that blessing can be attained only through Christ. Isn't it great to know that regardless of your nationality, that you have an opportunity to be a child in the kingdom of God? Use a reference there, Colossians 3 and verse 11. The Ephesians were an example of this, and now people around the world also have a part in that. Being a part of Christ's body, the church, is such a blessing to those who are in Christ. If we're going to be a part of the family of God, we've got to build upon the foundation that has been laid for us. There's no other foundation that we can build on other than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. There's only one Savior. There's only one. And we need to come to the realization that we have to turn to Him. Building upon the foundation that has been established, we can glorify God as we should and are a fit dwelling place for the Spirit. And this is something we need to be concerned about, something that we should always do. Take home. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. Ephesians is going to say that over and over and over again. Something that's mentioned that many times has got to be really important. And we've got to grasp the fact that only in Christ, only through being a part of Christ's body, the church, can we be pleasing to God. Can we attain that heavenly, our heavenly goal? And certainly this is important. No, this lesson is a little bit shorter than normal, but our time's just about up, but you'll have a few minutes more to visit. Next week, Doug's going to talk about the mystery of Christ. The lesson text is Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. Thank you for your attention.
Being the first thing, I've always thought of foundation, you know, building a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense, mm-hmm. You know, that you got to have that.